In this episode of the On.NET Show, we're going to have Michael Stonas joining us to let us know all about the reactive extensions. Welcome to another episode of the On.NET Show. My name is Cecil Phillip, and today we're going to learn about reactive extensions. And today I actually have Michael Stonas, and he's joining us in Skype, and he's going to let us all know all about this framework. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, not much. Glad to be here.
So thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are and what is it exactly that you do?
Sure, yeah. So my name is Michael Stonas. I work at a consulting company named 8Bot. I'm a Microsoft MVP, and I spend most of my day working on enterprise mobile applications. So helping companies kind of take existing applications and things like that, and then switch over to bringing them to the mobile side of the world.
Gotcha. And so you're here to talk to us today about reactive extensions. So I've heard this a little bit, particularly when it comes to like front-end programming, when it comes to building UIs and things of that nature. So why don't we start off with a little bit of what exactly is reactive extensions and what's the problem that it's trying to solve?
Sure, yeah. So, you know, reactive extensions is something that came from Microsoft all the way back in like 2009 or so. The idea was, you know, the world is sort of evolving a little bit where things are becoming more on demand. We've got a lot of asynchronous calls that are happening. We're developing pretty complicated user interfaces that are pretty event-based and things like that. And the idea there was to kind of build a framework out to help with those types of issues. You know, anytime you're dealing with streams, asynchronous data, anything that might take a little bit of time to process and stuff like that.
And so we talk a lot about like asynchronous data and asynchronous streams and whatnot, but we already have like the task framework in .NET.
Right.
And that collection of extensions and methods and whatnot. So how is Rx different from that?
Sure. So whenever I think of like an async call, probably my go-to would be an API call or something like that, right? It's something where I need to call into it, and then maybe one time I'm going to get data returned back to me. So I'm going to call. The server might take somewhere between a couple of milliseconds to a second or something like that. And then once that's done, I'll get my payload delivered to me and I could unpack it. Where the reactive extensions differ then is where we may have things that may happen right away. They may happen over a long period of time, or they may happen multiple times, right? So if you imagine building a user interface where we need to listen for somebody clicking on data, and every time they click on data or maybe type in on an entry field, we need to go query a server, but we need something that doesn't just fire off or listen to those sort of events one time and manage all that work. We need something that could do that over a period of time and help us do that work out there. So it's sort of a... if you think of async as sort of a one-time thing, which I know isn't totally true, but if you think of it kind of as a one-time thing, reactive extensions give us some of that power and bring it to asynchronous processing that could happen multiple times.
Nice. You know, I always, when you talk about events, I always think about, you know, back when I first started my career, and I used to have to create event handlers.
Yeah.
Right? And we had the event handler, and, you know, we had to create event delegates. We had to, you know, add and remove the delegates from the event handler, right?
Yeah, you got it.
But when you do that, right, like essentially we're just getting, like we're not getting a stream of events. We're kind of just handling the events one at a time. So
correct.
What you're telling me now is that with Rx, we're able to handle these things like a collection almost, right? Like we're having this stream of things that are coming in over time. And we're able to kind of look at it and start to kind of work with that data.
That's correct, yeah. So I don't know if it makes sense to kind of take a step into it a little bit further, and we could kind of talk about some of the core concepts there.
Yeah, sure. Let's go ahead and do that.
Sure. Let me switch over. I've got some slides that'll probably help illustrate this a little better here.
Sure. We love slides.
Let me get this up here, and I'll share my screen. All right. Right. So if we think of, you know, something that we're probably all familiar with here, it would likely be IEnumerable, right? You know, kind of, you know, whether we're talking about going and receiving data as .NET developers, whenever we go and do something, we're typically going to get back like a list or an array or a dictionary, something that's going to be prepackaged, and we're going to comb through it, right? And so that's sort of going back to like that async idea. We might go and retrieve some data from a server, get a list of objects back, and then we'll for each through those or for through that data, right? where this starts to change and where things start to get a little bit different here for reactive extensions is we kind of turn that on its head a little bit here. And we do that using this thing called iObservable. So at this point in time, we're not just going to be listening for individual changes or one big package of change that comes through. We're now sort of setting up a conveyor belt to listen through changes over time. So those changes could be coming from events. Those changes could be coming from like a Bluetooth LE system that's pushing out notifications to us or something like that. But the idea here is it's basically just a set of notifications that will be sent down a stream, right?
Gotcha.
You can build these in multiple different ways. So, you know, if we think of how you would build this out or what those streams might come from, I've got a couple of examples here. You could say I want a range of notifications, so between 1 and 100, send me out a range of notifications here. You could say something like on a timer, maybe every 3 seconds I want to be notified when something happens. Or like to your example, we could, we'll say like the standard development practice for .NET, right? We would set up our event handlers here. And so we would say something like in this case where we've got a text entry field. We're interested whenever that fires off. And so, you know, in this case here, we're not just going to get that one notification and kind of move along our way and do our processing. We're now going to take that notification, sort of put it on that conveyor belt, and do something with it. We might look at multiple notifications together. We may filter out notifications, things like that. But that's sort of the core idea of those notifications out there.
So what we're looking at in this particular example, so essentially we're taking that, you know, that that event handler pattern, and we're kind of converting this into that observable pattern, right?
That's correct. Yep. Yeah. So it's sort of taking things that we already have and migrating it over to work with observables. And I'll show a couple instances of that here.
Okay. Right.
Cool. So that's only sort of one half of the idea. So if you think about, this only pushing data out to us, now what we need is some way to consume this data, right? So we need to provide a subscription, right? So if those are coming down the conveyor belt, we need some way to listen to those coming down the conveyor belt here. And so we're going to do that. We're going to create a subscriber that's going to listen to that observable. The cool thing about this then is you can have one-to-many subscriptions. So you could have two people listening or two listeners for those observables, and they could get data and process data however they want to that way. We could filter data, and again, I'll show some examples of that in just a moment here. And then when you're all done with it, basically what you would do is whenever that subscriber is done listening, you just dispose of that subscription. So again, talking about like traditional events, you would have to do sort of an unsubscribe, a less than equals to unsubscribe from there. And the whole idea here with observables is that whenever you're done, you just dispose of that subscription, and then everything sort of up the stack cleans up itself, which is kind of neat.
Nice. Awesome. So yeah. I know in some previous examples that I've taken a look at, I know that there's this concept of hot and cold observables when you're doing subscriptions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you talk to us a little bit about what's the difference between hot and cold observables? So like, how does that, you know, play into what you're talking about right now?
Sure. So a hot observable is something that's going to be, even without a subscription on, it's going to be producing values and sort of starting to collect values out there. Okay. A cold observable then, until somebody subscribes, is not going to start pushing those values through. So if you have something that you want to be late bound or sort of bound at the last very moment, a cold observable is pretty nice because those things that have gone through earlier, you may not have been interested in and they wouldn't be subscribed to and you really wouldn't have that data until you put that subscription out there.
Gotcha. So if I was supposed to use an example, right, a hot observable could be something like, let's say, a stock ticker, right? And the stocks are always ticking and the values are always going up and down. But until I actually subscribe to it, I'm not actually going to know what those values are. And a cold observable could be something like, hey, I'm going to listen to the results of this HTTP request. But until I subscribe to it, I actually haven't made that request yet, right?
Right. So if there were any requests that had gone through earlier, like with the stock ticker, maybe you only care at a certain point in time to start listening for those values and you don't need historical data. Gotcha. So a cold observable could be helpful for you there just to pick it up right at that instance in time.
Okay, great. So now what you're showing us here is, for instance, just an example of how we could subscribe and take some action on a subscription.
Correct. Yeah. So, right. So I was saying, you know, if we have that observable, maybe this is something, it's just an example with fish. I usually Whenever I talk about observables, I do a lot of fishing, so I kind of relate it to fishing a bit, where you're sitting out there, you throw your, you know, you cast, and you're waiting for a fish to bite, right? And so in this case, we're just waiting for a notification to come through. So we might have something letting us know that we've had that notification actually come through. We subscribe to it, and we do our unit of work on top of it, right? We might, in this case, just write it out to the debug write line. Creating this subscription then is going to give us a disposable that we can clean up later on. So once we're done with this processing, if we want to, we could go in and call dispose, and we could shut that description down right then and there. The other thing that's kind of neat about this then is it works really well with every, you know, .NET developer's favorite thing, Link, right? So if you want to do something like only get fish that are freshwater fish, we could do that, and we could filter out any saltwater fish or something like that. We can also filter the data down further, so we can write select statements on top of it and actually get that data set so that it's just the name. Maybe we don't care about the rest of it, right? And then finally, we could take that and push that into our subscription as well.
Nice.
So it's the other. So this is kind of a neat thing that I think comes with the reactive extensions. And I've got a couple other operators that come with it as well here. But the idea is that if you're already familiar with Link and you're familiar with that sort of inline processing style of, you know, kind of receiving data in, filtering it, and kind of going along your way from there, we get a bunch of additional operators to do things like buffer up data for a period of time, merge two streams together into a single stream, stuff like that. And there's a whole bunch of these different operators that come with it as well.
Great, that's awesome. So before we actually move forward and, you know, start looking at some demos and things like that, why don't we talk about some of the different scenarios? Like, you know, I might be a Xamarin developer or a .NET developer. Like, at what point do I say, okay, well, this is where I need to add reactive extensions to my applications, or this is where it's actually going to be beneficial for me to use it?
I mean, if you're me, it's as soon as you start creating a new solution, it's the first thing you do.
Oh, really?
I'm just kidding. it's situational, obviously.
Sure.
It depends on every developer and what they're comfortable with. But you know, if for me, you know, the thing is, if you want to kind of if you've got a pretty complicated application where you have multiple different data producers, right? Maybe you have like a user interface, like a form user interface, where you need to do real-time validation as somebody's coming through, and you need to listen to every single click or every single text changed event that's happening on a form field. You know, we could take all those, merge them together as one big stream, and run our validation in real time. And so if you need to do something complicated like that, the reactive extensions become pretty helpful for you. Even outside of that, you know, even if you're doing like server-side processing or whatnot there, there's a bunch of additional helper components that come with the reactive extensions to make just the typical async type work that you're doing even better, right? So we'll get things like if you have an async method that you know needs to time out after a certain period of time. Maybe it's a third-party library and you don't have control over timing it out. What you could do is just use this timeout operator that comes with reactive extensions, or the retry operator to retry if it fails a certain amount of times. So it's, you know, anytime I feel like you kind of break over that hurdle of, you know, a simplistic application, the reactive extensions are kind of there is a pretty good hammer to help you solve a lot of the, you know, your typical developer problems.
Well, okay, that's awesome.
Yeah. So much in the same way, you know, if you're using Link today, you know, or you know, if you're using Link or Async today and you like those, there's probably a good chance you would like reactive extensions and want to bring them in.
Nice. So does reactive extensions run on, is it like a full framework thing, or do we run on .NET and .NET Core, and does it support .NET Standard and some of these types of things?
Yeah, it's just a NuGet package that you could pop into to your application. It's system.reactive. All the newest, there's been a lot of activity here lately, which is pretty exciting. But if you get System Reactive 4 or greater, you know, there's support for .NET Core, .NET Standard, all the major platforms for us there now.
That's great. So that means that whether I'm building a Xamarin app or a Windows desktop app or even an ASP.NET app that's running on the server, I should be able to, you know, if I wanted to, I could pull in reactive extensions into my project, and I could start making use of some of these operators and, you know, some of these types that are here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So why don't we take a look at some demos, man? You got some code you want to show us?
Yeah, for sure. So I've got a couple of demos. Maybe I could show user interface first and then kind of talk about the code behind it afterwards, right?
Sure.
So let's get this started up here. It's always good to have a visual thing, right? So we'll get this started from here.
Nice logo.
Yeah, that's the Reactive Extensions logo. We'll give that a second here. Maybe I'll try to fire that up here again. If it doesn't go, we could take a look at some code here in a moment.
Sure, no worries.
Cool. So while that's loading up here, let me do this. I'll actually bring up the code here for Throttle. Cool. All right. So yeah, so here is the example I was going to show. So I'll stop that from building really quick. So here's the example. You know, if you've ever had to do a type ahead in a website, right, where you need to do something where you've got predictive typing, or you maybe want to execute a search after a user has stopped typing for a half a second or something like that, right? If you've ever had to do that in the traditional style of programming, it's kind of a pain in the butt, right? You've got to listen for all those events. You've got to filter them out. You've got to hang on to maybe a timer or something like that to make sure that you don't go over it. But with Reactive Extensions, we've got sort of a built-in way to do that. So if we look from the UI here, you know, right, we'll say, howdy, Microsoft. We'll wait 3 seconds. And then after our last notification goes through, we'll get a notification from that, right? So I didn't have to deal with any of the other typing that I had come in. I wrote, howdy, Microsoft. And it wasn't until I stopped typing for 3 seconds that a notification came through. And this is where this becomes really cool, right? So a simple operation like that becomes this nice, fluent a setup here in Reactive Extensions. So we take a look at this here. You can see I'm creating a new observable. In this case, I'm going to create it from an event pattern. So I'm just going to leverage, this is actually using Xamarin Forms, but I'm going to leverage some events that are just out of the box with Xamarin Forms here. I'm going to throttle it then. So I'm going to tell it, you know, wait for that last notification to come through. So as I'm typing through in the user interface, let's wait 3 seconds after I get that last notification. Then what I could do is I can filter it a little bit. So I could just take out the new text value, right? I could filter out those event arguments and just get out the string value that I really care for. And then finally in my subscription, I could pump that into the user interface and update the user interface from there, which is pretty neat. The nice part about this then is whether I'm doing a throttle or if I were to do something different, like a, I'll do maybe not a merge, we'll do just a delay because it's a good example here, right? If I wanted to do a delay, so I'll say, and just make sure that I want to get all those notifications, but I want to delay them by 3 seconds. You know, if we look at the code there, again, it's going to look very similar. So in this case, our delay will actually just take the same type of idea where we're going to get an observable.
Yeah, so what I really, really, really like about that model of what you're showing so far is you're using like the same types of event types that are already built into the framework. So essentially, like Reactive Extensions are essentially just enhancing some of the things that we already have inside of .NET.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a bolt-on. It's not a, oh no, I've got to re-architect everything, or oh no, I've got to rewrite absolutely everything how I'm doing, you know, doing it in this application. It's not true, right? You could use it in situational pieces. You know, you could use it, you know, just one or two places, like if you had this type of functionality in a few spots in your app where you needed to filter things down. Yeah. You've got the ability to do it there. There's also full-blown frameworks that you could use for your entire UI based around Reactive Extensions. So things like Reactive UI is one for .NET. You know, Reactive UI gives you full Reactive Extensions for everything that you would do in all the different platforms for .NET, which is pretty neat. But you could pick and choose what you want, you know. What would probably be neat too here would be, I've got a sample of how you could use this on the server. And kind of, you know, talking exactly to that, if you've got async methods that you've built out today that you would like to enhance, Reactive Extensions can help you with that as well. So in this case here, if you imagine I've got an API call that I'm looking to make, what I could do is I could take this async call, it's just a simple HTTP client that I have this example here, and I could wrap it with this thing of observable from async. And so now what's pretty neat about this is a few things. So for this async method, I could tell it which, this is a scheduler to run this code on. So the idea behind a scheduler and reactive extensions is we could tell this that I want it to run maybe on a task pool thread, or I want this to run on the UI thread or something like that. I could give it a very specific thread affinity, or you know, tell it exactly where I'd like it to run on.
Yeah.
I could provide retry logic. So just by using this retry operator, it will execute this 5 times. If it fails, I could have it time out. So if this query takes longer than 80 milliseconds to run, I could pop that in here, and it will actually throw out a timeout exception. I could inline my logging. So do is an operator that gives us a chance to sort of inspect our values along the way through this Fluent layout here. This one I like is pretty cool. This is a select many. So if you've ever in Link wanted to do an async call inside of a select, if you've ever tried to do that before, you know it doesn't really support it, right? I can't make an async call and wait for the value to come back. You end up having to do like a when all or something like that afterwards. Well, with reactive extensions, we get select many. And then inside of here, we could actually make async calls, and the value doesn't get pumped through until this async operation completes. So this select here will actually get the full result of this stream getting parsed out here from the server. So it's a pretty neat way that we could take sort of what we normally would have, you know, just sort of any HTTP client, and enhance it in a number of different ways, and provide it, you know, that sort of bolt-on type functionality to it.
You know what I find interesting too is as I'm looking at this code, like you essentially have most of your business logic, kind of like you're kind of composing it together using like some of these extension methods, right? So you have retries in here, you have logging right. in here, you have exception handling in here. And then still you're able to convert it into a JSON result and return an action result inside of your action method.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite parts, to be honest with you. It kind of tells you a little story, right? You could see where did the data come from, what happened to it along the way, and then what did we do with it at the end? And so, you know, as a developer, you know, we're always working on code. Sometimes you leave code for 6 months or you come back to it after a year or something like that. And you know, sometimes you look at projects and you're like, uh-oh, what's happening here? I don't know where anything's going, or it takes you like a day just to sort of follow the path, right? You know, this event fires here, which causes that event to fire, which makes this whole chain reaction occur. Observable extensions just kind of give you these little stories so that when I come back to this, you know, 6 months from now, I could say, oh, it does this followed by that. And you could see it sort of in one little block here, which is, extremely beneficial, I think.
Right. So I know in the past some folks have talked about reactive extensions, and regardless of whether it's Rx for .NET or Rx for Java or Rx even for JavaScript, and they've always said that it's a little confusing because there's so much that you could do with it.
And so sure.
I think what would be interesting to talk about is, you know, what are some of the ways that we could get started with Rx from the ground up and kind of slowly start to build up our understanding, like, you know, are there good courses we could look at or documentation, or are there good samples that we could look at online, maybe on GitHub, that could kind of help explain some of the basic concepts as we continue to build up a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, so there's a couple of places that I always recommend taking a look at here. ReactiveX.io is sort of the hub for all things reactive extensions. And just like you mentioned there, reactive extensions isn't just a .NET thing anymore. This has sort of become a paradigm that you could see in you know, the JavaScript world. It's extremely popular there. C++, Swift, any other C language out there, I think they've got it. And so if you're interested in using it, you could go and sort of find out the basics and things like that there. Even if you're not a .NET developer, there's really good examples showing you sort of what the core fundamentals and operators and things are there. If you want to take sort of a one further step in, Intro to Rx, I think, is a great website to help with that. So once you've kind of got your feet wet and you go, okay, I think I know what a throttle is, you could deep dive into it and find out all the information about throttling and whatnot from there. One site that I really, really do like, especially for beginners then, is Rx Marbles. So Rx Marbles is a great way to visualize how reactive operators are working. So it's essentially, if you think of it, is sort of a track where you could see a marble get put on the track every time a notification gets pushed out. Rx Marbles kind of gives you a great way to sort of dive into there and visually see what's happening when you're doing a merge or a combine latest or any of those types of operations.
Great, that's awesome, man. Well, these are some really good resources, and we'll make sure that we put these inside of the show notes. So you know, after you know, our guests have had a chance to look at the video, they could take a look at these and check, make sure they check them out.
Awesome. Very cool.
So Michael, I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show, man. I really appreciate you coming on and giving us this really quick introduction to RX. Folks want to kind of reach out to you and, you know, maybe ask you some questions or, you know, kind of just figure out, well, hey, I just want to talk to Michael really quickly. Like, what are some good places that they could do that?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at Michael Stonis. You can get to me on there. I'm always glad to help out whoever I can. There is a Reactive Extension Slack channel. It's Reactive Inc. I would have to find the whole name. It's been a little bit since I've been out there, but or had a link into it. But it's reactivex.slack.com. So if you're interested in diving in, there's a pretty good community out there to help you get up and running as well, with people that are, you know, helping maintain all these libraries.
Cool. Well, hey, thank you again, Michael. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
And this has been another episode of the On.NET Show, and we just had Michael Stonis telling us all about the Reactive Extensions.